When he returned to the African compound, it was day 87. He found Stormalong there with more disks that showed the color codes of the cables and the pole wires. They could simply hack off the console's cables and reconnect them at Kariba. He gave the code to Angus. Stormalong said this would be his last run, so Johnny briefed him carefully on the military situation. It was Johnny's belief that the visitors would attack in force after any American firing. Stormalong had better be prepared to take control of air defenses on the planet. Johnny would not let him go on the raid. Dunaldine was handling air cover for them on that. Thor would be with them in the raiding party. Johnny missed Robert the Fox, who usually handled these briefings and actions. Stormalong, like Angus, did not want Johnny to go. He said America was stripped now. The academy was empty. Johnny would have only his own raiding party, and though he knew it had been drilled within an inch of the participants' lives, there were an awful lot of Brigantes over there. Just after they had pulled the recorders out of the three places at the academy, Brigantes had begun to systematically loot the place. But with no Sir Robert to support his objections, Stormalong did not prevail. Johnny was going up to an upper level of the compound, and he ran into Kerr. The Cyclo Midget was all smiles. They swatted paws. He had been looking for Johnny to show him the silly money they were now printing for America and in which he had been paid. Johnny pulled him into a deserted office and shook his head over the 100-credit note and the picture of Brown Limper Staffer.
"This stuff is worthless,"
said Kerr.
"The Brigantes just throw it into the street."
Kerr was so happy to be out of that area, he told Johnny all about it.
"And he offered me 750,000 galactic credits that I'll never see. He's one crazy cyclo, not sane like us half-humans."
Kerr laughed over that. Kerr gave him the final layouts of the firing platform area. There was nothing new. Kerr had dug and done exactly according to plan. It was the same plan on which his raiding team had been drilled, and Kerr assured him everything was in place. But Kerr hadn't realized Johnny was going over there. When he heard that, he got very serious.
"This Turl is a very bad one. He's liable to have surprises. I don't like your going, Johnny."
Johnny said he had to go.
"What if you get a Cyclo War Party back on that platform in return?"
"I don't think we will. And we have a present for Cyclo."
"I hope so. It's my furry neck if they ever turn up here again. The IBI would take days to kill me."
"I don't think you have anything to worry about. But you stay here among these defenses. There's quite a few enemy prisoners in the place and all the Cyclos that are left. Maybe you can teach them to play cards."
Kerr laughed. And then he said,
"Did the one you call Sir Robert come back here?"
"Why?"
"Well, right in the middle of the academy move to England, we didn't see him anymore. I wanted to check a couple of points with him, and I couldn't find him. And Dunaldine put in calls. He isn't in Edinburgh or Luxembourg or Russia. I thought he must be here. The reason I ask is he knows all your dispositions of forces and even some of your raid details."
Johnny was very concerned, mostly wondering about Sir Robert, a bit worried. He threw off Kerr's question with,
"They could never make him talk."
"The IBI could make anybody talk.